For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning, folks.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Hello there.
Are you good?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Big fans. Over probably 20 years.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
The day before the season, I hope you can handle another beautiful day of weather because...
It's coming?
It's coming. 80 degrees today, beautiful again.
Good. Good.
It's nice all the time.
Good. I might need it.
Except the weekend might not be there.
I'm a little sad this morning.
About... Hold on. What could you be sad about?
I'm sad. A little sad.
Josh, what could someone be sad about today? It's the day before the NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
You're sad that you bailed on the Vampire League. No. You're
not
sad
quite.
That you're not in enough guillotine leagues. I've got a spot for you.
You're on the right path.
Oh, it's fantasy-based?
It's fantasy. I've got no more drafts left.
That stinks. I've got one tonight and one tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, that stinks.
That's good for you. I'm out. That's it. All my drafts. Leading back to February, the day after the Super Bowl, when my first draft takes place.
All right,
is over.
Quick instant fantasy analysis. Brian Daboll calling plays for the Giants. Good or bad for Malik Nabers?
Good.
Got to be good.
Got to be good. He's just going to, throw the ball to number one over there.
Feed that guy.
And when you don't, we're going to bench you for Drew Lock. So you better do it.
Yeah, whoever throws it to Nabers is my guy.
Yes. Yeah. Good news. And I've got some Nabers. I've got more Nabers than I have Marvin Harrison Jr. So I'm invested in that. That better work.
I've got some Nabers, some Harrison Jr., and no Odunze. And I've got some Keon Coleman, and I've got... It might be about it.
I don't think I've got any, maybe one Keon Coleman spot. I got a lot of Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
I got a lot of Worthy. Nabers might be the rookie receiver I have the most of, which is good. I mean, he's easily one of the top two.
Well, we're going to see Marvin Harrison Jr. on Sunday, which is kind of exciting. So a big show today. I mean, it's a game week, so we're deep into our football routine. Today, we will talk with Sal at 9 o'clock and Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, at 7:30. One of the things, driving in today, thinking about what we're going to talk about with Joe, was how to game plan and how to install for a team you've never seen. I know they've played Kyler Murray. It was a long time ago. They've not played this version of the Cardinals, not Trey McBride, not Marvin Harrison Jr. There's no tape on this group right now. It's kind of like the Bills offense. Like, there's a lot of unknowns for this matchup. So, the whole idea of game planning for a week one game. So Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30. At 8, Howard picks the Bills.
Let's go.
Yeah. Howard picks the Bills at 8, game by game. We'll go through it. At 9, Sal. So that's what we've got today. Other stuff along the way. Instant trivia. I've got some stats for you on a good instant trivia that involves receivers and NFL history that could happen this year.
Good.
There's a Diggs article out there. We can all yell about Diggs for a little while if you want.
We should have predicted. There was always a GQ piece coming.
Yeah, sure.
He's into fashion. He's like into fashion too. Like, he's getting invited out to these runways in Paris. So getting a GQ feature was maybe predictable.
Yeah.
And there's some juicy stuff in there.
A little bit juicy. It's as juicy as you want it to be, I guess, is what I would say. If you're the kind of person that stalks your ex's Instagram, then it's juicy. That's basically what this is, you know, a breakup, whatever. We'll get to it. One thing I was thinking about this morning. So the Cardinals, right? All right.
The Arizona Cardinals. Yep, here they are.
A couple days away from the Cardinals. And I subscribe to a lot of different football writers, fantasy writers, Substacks. One is Ben Gretsch. He does a bunch of stuff on fantasy, on over-unders, on team expectations. Mm-hmm. And yesterday he sent out one that was the team that's ready to surprise the league this year.
Okay.
Last year, looking back, it was the Texans.
Okay.
They went from picking second and third to, holy cow, okay, they're a contender now.
Won a playoff game.
Yep.
Won the division.
The Texans were not just your run-of-the-mill, oh, nice, from worst to first, but they finished 9-7 and then petered out. Like, they were legit. They're pretty good. And he wrote, scrolling down, like, okay, who is it this year? His call for the team to surprise the league this year is?
Is it Arizona?
Arizona. That the Cardinals are primed to make some noise. And basically, part of that is they're a little bit like the Bills, if you want to make these comparisons, right? The Bills, Dorsey versus Brady. Why do people think the Bills might be good under Joe Brady? It's because, well, once Brady showed up, they got a lot better. And while they weren't maybe a lot better, they started to win some games and be more respectable. And Arizona kind of had the same thing happen. What happened? Kyler Murray came back. And what do? They just got better. They went from, I think they were 29th in EPA per play. And when Kyler Murray came back as an offense, they were 9th.
Yeah, I was going to say they were top 10.
Yeah.
Whatever they were top 10.
He showed up and their offense was just good. It just worked. Because he can beat teams with his legs. He can, you know, there's just a lot of data to suggest that they're ready for breakouts all over the place. Trey McBride, you know, if you're in fantasy, Trey McBride's a tight end name you're knowing and starting to draft earlier. And there's even Michael Wilson, who is on this team as a wide receiver, that's now the number two behind Marvin Harrison Jr. And he had some metrics that are comparable to, like, George Pickens' rookie season.
Yeah.
Very quietly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to trade Michael Wilson away in every fantasy league, and nobody wants him. I only try to trade him because I have Marvin Harrison Jr. But the point is, like, this guy's got some ability as well. So you've got weapons. Yeah. You've got a quarterback that can be dangerous. Their defense needs an overhaul, but
The coach isn't as much of a joke as he was a year ago.
No, he looked respectable last year. I mean, again, the half their season was thrown into a volcano because they're waiting for their starting quarterback to come back. And if he played the whole season, I don't know, they might win 7 games?
8 games. They may be, like, competitive. They would have been competitive.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So Arizona, as a test, it's the kind of game where I feel like I'm confident the Bills are going to win this game. I'm feeling better about it leading in.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be the kind of thing, Joe, where 2 months from now, we think of it as a better win than we did the day it happened. Because maybe Arizona proves to be a scrappy team, a tough team that makes some noise. They're probably not the most likely to go worst to first. There are a lot of really good candidates for that. In fact, there might be like a record-setting year for worst to firsts.
Okay.
But they're a candidate. I mean, they'll be in the mix in that division somewhat. It's a pretty strong division.
Stuff they have the Niners at the top.
Right. Niners at the top. Rams are good. Seahawks respectable.
Yeah.
But Arizona could be a little feisty this year.
Yeah. If they were a playoff team, it wouldn't surprise me all that much. Especially in the NFC, where can we still say the NFC is kind of lacking for the star quarterback talent? There's a little bit more of it. Jordan Love breaking out, but Kyler Murray is still one of the five most talented quarterbacks in the NFC.
Is he a top five NFC quarterback?
It's Love. Close, right?
Love Stafford. Goff. Hurts. Prescott, of course. Sorry, Dak.
Prescott. Would you put him over one of those guys? You could put him over one of those guys, though, and it wouldn't be crazy. If someone put him over
Goff,
sure. Or even someone could do it for Stafford. I wouldn't, but yeah, he's right there. So you have the quarterback, you have a guy that could be an elite number one wide receiver right away, and a guy that's already broke out at tight end. And how much more do you really need? I mean, their defense might just have to be like half good, which might not be the case. Like, their defense might be really bad and might sink them. The Bills I saw this weekend, have the they have the second highest team total for this week at 27.
Expecting big time points.
Yeah, I think the Lions are the only team by the odds that are expected to score more points in week one. And that has, of course, some to do with Josh Allen at home, but I think a lot of it has to do with that Cardinals defense might be tough. I think they're going to be fun. Like, at least they're going to be fun. And maybe this game on Sunday will be that way, too, because they're not going to be able to stop people, but they're going to be able to move the ball. So they'll be fun. And can fun make the playoffs in the NFC? You could see that squeaking in as a 6 or a 7 seed, I think.
Yeah.
They're in a different... Are they on the upward trajectory, though, with their timeline? Or is it weird to figure out their timeline because their quarterback has already been... This is his second coach.
Yeah.
This is his second kind of core group. So I don't know. Like, Murray's still young enough. I'm not saying, like, oh, they got to win now because Kyler Murray's getting older. I'm not saying that, but it's kind of – I don't know if I want to call them, like, an upstart because the quarterback's been there now for, what, 6 years?
This is his sixth season. And the best he's ever done as a starter is 9-5.
Okay.
Which is not bad.
Has he played in a playoff game?
I do not believe so.
No. Okay. Not even that 9-5 year?
No. 9-5 is his best season. Maybe if he plays the other games, they do go to the playoffs. But
yeah. I've got one playoff game for him.
Oh, okay.
One playoff game in the 2021 season, they lost 34-11 to the Rams.
Oh, that's right. We talked about it the other day. My brain. It's before 7 a.m.
Is that the Rams Super Bowl year? Maybe.
I don't remember.
Doesn't matter. But he has one playoff game, and this is his sixth season.
Okay. It's time to start winning for them.
I know.
If you're Arizona, it's time to start winning. Last year, he goes 3-5 as a starter in half the season.
Yep.
The year before, 3-8. You know, like, he got comeback player of the year votes last year.
Yeah. We're also not talking about him maybe the same way we were, and maybe that's just because he kind of went away for a while. So we kind of lost him, and now we're, like, back, and it's, hey, Kyler Murray's back, fun player. Because when he got injured, or right before he got injured, everyone was talking about Kyler Murray, but it was for more, he plays Call of Duty until 2 o'clock in the morning, and he has a clause in his contract that says you have to study a certain amount, right? And there's him screaming at his coach and his teammates on the sideline. It's, can this guy be a leader? Is he mature enough to be a franchise quarterback? And it's, I don't know, are we just not asking those questions anymore because we forgot about him?
Kind of.
Because all of those things were being asked about Kyler Murray.
Yeah. His QBR, if you want that, peaked a couple years ago. It's gone down since.
Okay.
And he's not stayed healthy. They've gone through coaching changes. He does have, and they have, one thing working for them, which is Cliff Kingsbury's gone. And there are a few coaches in the NFL where when they leave, you'll have plenty of people say, like, this is good news for this player. Like, DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona famously lined up in one spot and ran one route the entire time he was with Cliff Kingsbury. And, like, you know, the NFL world looks at that and says, like, this guy could do a lot more than that. How about some creativity? So, you know, we see that with Adam Gase, who gets a lot of flack. Sometimes Mike McCarthy's offenses, whatever. You've got some guys.
Whoever the Patriots' offensive coordinator ends up being, usually.
Exactly. So we'll see about that. Marvin Harrison Jr. is interesting to me, of course. You know, a true number one receiver. How much will the Bills give to him? And how much coverage will they throw his way? Will Trey McBride feast over the middle against these linebackers without Matt Milano? Like, it's a scary enough matchup, but I just feel like the Bills are going to be able to keep the pace and be okay. The offense probably needs to have a good day for anybody to feel good because Arizona's defense has been horrible. They drafted a first-round defensive lineman. They've added some pieces as well, but you know, going into the season, and I put up a Twitter poll about this, which side of the ball are you more eager to see? Bills offense or Bills defense? Would it surprise you that it's a blowout?
For offense?
Yeah.
No.
What number do you think it would be for offense?
92.
It's 89%.
Okay, yep.
89% of the votes, I'm eager to see this offense, 10% defense. Like, whatever, fine.
There's a trust in the defense, right? Even just because of McDermott?
I don't know that it's that so much. It's on the offense. All right. Why? That's a good question. Why is it offense over defense for 90% of people? My best guess is on the defense, you're waiting to see a lot of pieces. On the offense, I know my quarterback is great, and I need to see that the offense still works. Just got to make sure it still works. Mm-hmm. Because if it doesn't, we got a problem. And they made a lot of changes. They've got one receiver on the team that caught passes from this quarterback before. That's Shakir. Like, okay, Joe Brady, I need to see you make this thing work.
Yeah.
He did last year to a point. I do have a quick little note I didn't get to yesterday about this offense and how we remember it that I wanted to get to. So Brady takes over. They lose in Philadelphia. They win a game before that.
The Jets.
Yeah, they beat the Jets.
They blow out the Jets.
They lose in Philadelphia in overtime. The offense looks better.
It's their best game against Saleh's Jets,
yep.
Really. Yeah.
And then they lose in Philly in overtime.
Yep.
Maybe not the offense's fault. They have a lead in that game, though.
Yeah.
Then they go on this run, and they win. They make the playoffs. Tim Graham's piece yesterday about Joe Brady included one note that I had forgotten about, well, everything about this game. No one remembers anything about this one game that I'm going to bring up. It's Bills-Chargers.
Okay.
Bills,
late in the year.
Bills, Chargers, late in the year. And the fact that the Bills, late in this game, and Tim Graham's piece at The Athletic, it's about how Joe Brady takes input from players and he meets with the entire offense. What plays the offensive line like? What plays do the receivers like? What plays do the running backs like? What plays does Josh Allen like? All that stuff. So there's a play in this game. It's a third down. The Bills have the ball late in the fourth quarter, for like 4 minutes left, and they are losing to the Chargers.
Easton Stick. Not just like the Chargers, Easton Stick.
They're losing to the Easton Stick.
Yeah.
Top 10 draft pick Chargers.
Do you know the coaches in that game? I mean, I could give you 5 years. I'm not sure if you would get it.
For the Chargers?
Who's the Chargers head coach in that game?
Man.
Easton Stick and Giff Smith.
Oh, this happened.
A guy named Giff.
Giff Smith. December.
Yeah. This was a Saturday night game.
A Saturday night. Bills are losing to Easton Stick and the Chargers on a third down. Diggs makes the call.
I remember them losing.
Diggs makes this call on the play.
Oh, okay.
That's part of Tim's story, is that as part of the collaboration of the offense that Joe Brady brought to this offense, Diggs had been saying he wanted to run a play all week.
Okay.
They call it for Diggs on like a 3rd and 8. It's 11-yard gain and a first down. And they keep the chains moving. They get into position. They make a play to Kincaid. They kick it. They win. Like, two things in there. One, how about that? Diggs did have a play that kind of mattered on the stretch. But they were losing with 4 minutes left to Easton Stick and the Chargers. Before we kind of, hey, everything with the offense once Brady took over was amazing. Like, they got the job done. And that's another part of, I think, why 90% want to see the Joe Brady offense, because they don't want to see him run the Ken Dorsey offense. They want to see you're getting what you want here, right?
Yeah.
You signed a receiver. You drafted a receiver. We've made moves here. There's another running back here for you. Everybody's healthy. If you want to run a lot of 12, you can do that. You want to run and establish the run, you can do that. Whatever works, let's see how it works for you. So, like that.
Yeah,
that note about the Charger game to me is kind of amazing. Like, it jumps out as, we're all excited to see the offense, but when we last left the offense, it had its share of, could use some bigger plays, could use some more plays.
Yeah, McDermott said it. We need to find more explosive plays. Am I right in saying that I don't want to see their offense look the same? I don't want to see their offense be the same as it was at the end of last year. I know they won games, but wasn't their offense just watered down because they didn't want to turn the ball over? They wanted to simplify things. And what did that equate to? It meant we're going to force feed our running back with carries and in the pass game. Like, I would
you
wonder,
got a lot.
Like, what would James Cook percentage of the touches be versus his peers in the league? Like, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I would bet you a lot of money that he was top five of all running backs, like maybe McCaffrey level in the last month of the season.
That is,
and that's fine. He's a good player, but I don't, with Josh Allen at the helm, I don't think I want to be an offense where my running back is like second in the league in touches.
Well, the thing I remember is when Brady took over, that James Cook finally started to get used the way that they drafted him.
Yes.
Passing him, when they drafted him, it was think of him as a pass catcher, and then he was not really used as that kind of pass catcher, and Brady brought that along and brought that out of him. 803-0550. Bills Cardinals, your pick on this game. If you want to give that to us, Howard's going to pick the Bills at 8. Sal's going to join us. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills, going to join us. And your calls along the way. Which side of the ball are you more eager to see in the opener, and why? Give us a ring. Johnny in Buffalo is going to lead us off here as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Good morning, Johnny.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, for me, like most fans, I think, and you guys especially, it's the offense. You guys hit the nail on the head. It's just, I don't really, look, I think the defense is definitely going to take a step back, especially with losing, you know, so many veteran guys. You know, obviously Milano out. Hopefully the D-line can step up. But I just, it's all about Josh. It's all about, you know, Diggs gone. What's the offense going to look like? If the defense, you know, is a little worse, are we going to be able to put up 28 points, 30 points a game? And how's that going to look? I want to see, you know, how we, like you guys said, I don't want to see James Cook get more touches or be one of the most, you know, heavily used running backs in the league. When you have 17 back there, he should be touching the ball more than any other player. And I know Josh already accounts for a ton of the offense, but I want to continue to see it. And lastly, when it comes to the Cardinals, look, I think there are a lot of people's darling pick this year. It's, you know, they got a lot of athletes. They got Marvin Harrison. You know, Kyler's back again, but this is a quarterback who's had a, you know, I understand the Kingsbury thing, but he's had a winning record in the NFL once in his career. They had 4 wins last year, and I know Kyler was hurt, but look, he went 3-5 last year as a starter. I just don't see them going from a, you know, are they going to double their wins this year and go from 4 to however many? I don't think this is the Texans of last year. I think that, look, the Cardinals' defense was okay, and I understand, you know, the metrics say that their offense improved, but man, I just don't see it. And I think that week one comes around, and I know the Bills sometimes put duds week one, but I think we win by double digits.
Yeah. Thanks, Johnny. You know, you mentioned the Bills sometimes put up duds in week one. That is right. They also put together some pretty good ones. I mean, the win in L.A. was pretty good, but a dud against the Jets.
A dud against the Steelers.
A dud against the Steelers. What else is in here?
Bills openers. They had the game against the Jets where they threw the ball like 18 times in a row.
That's
to start
one
the
where
game.
They come from down 16-0 to win 17-16, maybe? Or?
Yeah, there's a late Allen to John Brown touchdown. Yeah, there's a late touchdown that wins that game.
One thing,
so that one was good.
To your point, Johnny, about like, you know, offense wanting to see it more eager, there's no science to back up this kind of statement. It's kind of a feel thing. Doesn't it feel like we saw less from the offense in the preseason than in most preseasons? And that might come down to Coleman and Samuel.
Also, Allen did not end up playing that
much. He played, he played a half.
A half.
And they put up 6 points.
Yeah.
So maybe that's another part of it. You got a tunnel screen and two throws to Keon Coleman against off coverage. Like that's maybe you saw Ray Davis and you like what you saw there, but Shakir, Kincaid, like you kind of know what you're getting. So all the questions about the offense that we're waiting to see answers to or get answers to, I'm not saying you're ever going to get those in the preseason, but I just got next to nothing in terms of a feel for what they're going to be. And I know they're trying not to show you what they're going to be. That's right. Part of the, you know, the battle of the preseason. Thanks for the phone call, Johnny. 803-0550. Yeah, I mean, Arizona, you want your worst to first candidates? It happens almost every year.
And they're one of them?
They're one of them because they're in last place. You want to know, I've got 3 teams at least that are better worst-to-first candidates than Arizona.
Okay.
Maybe 4.
Okay.
The best candidate is the Bengals.
Yes.
I mean, they finished 8-9. It's not exactly the same kind of lift. But the Bengals finished in last. The Bears. I mean, the Bears, they got to beat the Lions and the Packers, and that's tough.
But they're alive for that. I like them more than the Cardinals for this.
You might like the Titans more than the Cardinals.
I might not go that far, even though I like the Titans.
The division is not as difficult as the Cardinals division. If we're just talking worst to first in the division, these are your candidates. Patriots?
Definitely not. Not even, no. No chance.
Chargers?
Okay.
No, not going to happen.
So, come on, they're not going to every year? They're just going to win every year.
Not every year, but not this year.
But if someone's going to, it's going to be the Chargers.
That's probably right.
The Chargers only have one team, I feel like, to topple, where a lot of these teams, other teams have like three.
Carolina?
No.
Division is trash, but no.
No chance. If they finish third, it would surprise me.
And then this is one that might be on the Arizona level, Washington. Anytime you introduce a new quarterback that could do crazy things, you have to leave the door open.
Remember, Cliff Kingsbury is there now.
That's unfortunate.
That's all we just said about what the Cardinals do. Like, hey, DeAndre Hopkins lined up in one spot. RIP Terry McLaurin for the next year as he plays one position for the next 12 months.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We'll talk with Joe Marino at 7:30. We've got Howard Picks the Bills at 8, Sal at 9. We can guess the Bills captains today. We didn't get those yet. We see a former Bills a captain in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little bit of news yesterday. We can kick that around for a moment. And you can give us a call. Wide open phone lines for you. 803-0550. Which side of the ball are you more eager to see in the early stages of the season and why? Jeremy and Joe, your phone calls on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All season ticket holders were offered the chance to buy a parking permit this year. So all the Bills parking lots are permit only. So fans that in the past may have shown up and parked in a Bills lot, paid cash, or used a credit card, they're not going to be able to do that any longer. So those fans were encouraging to have an advance plan, know which neighborhood lot you might be trying to go to, possibly take the NFTA Game Day Express, possibly use rideshare, and definitely we suggest strongly to carpool. A lot of fans carpooled last year. That always makes a big difference. Less cars on the road, less people needing parking spots helps everybody out.
Andy Major, Vice President, Operations and Guest Experience. We talked to him yesterday about prep for the opener, which is, of course, coming up Sunday. Temperatures this week, beautiful. 80s, high 70s. By the weekend, going to dip and get a little bit cooler. Forecast for Sunday, 40s and 50s.
Nice.
So cooler fall day, pop-up showers throughout the weekend as well. High of 80 today, 81 tomorrow. Just absolutely beautiful days here leading into the season. NFL season openers tomorrow between the Ravens and the Chiefs from Kansas City.
Have a nice cider mosa leading into the game on Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a move. It's a good move.
Yeah.
The cider mosa. Needs to become a more popular fall drink.
Yeah, I'm into it, sure.
There's nothing crazy about it. It's just champagne and cider.
That's right.
But it's great.
Dark beer season coming around as well.
Yes. I had the draft I was at yesterday, Nate Geary sitting next to me, just drinking dark beer after the dark beers. I need it to be a little chillier for the dark beer. Yesterday was a little warm for that.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, we're asking a couple things today as we kind of get you into a game week. Injury report mentioned coming out. Media today expecting the Bills captains today. Should we get on the record and predict the captains? You want to do that?
Sure.
All right. We have to settle on.
We got to settle on a number.
How many?
Yeah. I guess we could have different numbers.
We could. Allen, Dawkins, Milano, Taron Johnson.
Even Milano is like not.
I still think they'll do it.
They did not. So when you were running through them yesterday, maybe you'll remember this off the top of your head. 2 years ago, they voted Vaughn a captain.
They did.
But not last year.
Ooh, I don't remember.
All right. I thought I remembered when you were running through that they didn't name Vaughn a captain last year. But all right, Milano. Milano for now. I think Mac Hollins is going to be a captain.
That's a good answer.
I think Holland's going to be a captain. You said Dawkins.
They had 8 captains last year.
Knox, I think, is going to be a captain.
Vaughn was a captain last year.
He was? Okay.
Yes, he was.
So Vaughn's going to be a captain again, isn't he?
Sure.
So Allen, Milano, Hollins, Dawkins, Vaughn, Knox. That's 6. 2 more?
Taron Johnson.
Taron Johnson. Every time.
I know.
We need a new name for his position.
Yeah, because he gets forgotten all the time.
It's not. He's listed as a cornerback. No. He needs a new position. And nickelback isn't going to work for me. I need like a brand new name.
Taron back. Let's name the position after Taron Johnson. Taron back. I've got 6.
Swiss knife.
Allen,
just something.
Allen, Dawkins, Milano, Johnson, Hollins, Miller. You had somebody else?
No, it's 7.
Rasul Douglas?
Did you say Knox? I had Knox in there.
Dawson Knox. I mean, if I'm at Dawson, I need a special teams captain. Tyler Bass? Reed Ferguson?
Yeah.
Damar Hamlin?
Do they have like a core special teams guy that isn't like, who's the Matakevich guy?
Right.
For this. I don't know who that answer is. Isn't Hollins kind of also that? Is he not going to play special teams? Sold on that.
He's going to play a lot of snaps, I think. Is MVS about to be a captain? He's a veteran.
Oh my goodness.
If they give it to veterans.
Oh my goodness.
Stay tuned anyway. I think that's today. Media today.
I'll go Ferguson. That's my 8. Okay. Allen, Milano, Hollins, Dawkins, Knox, Vaughn, Taron Johnson, Ferguson.
Okay. Book it. We'll find out later today.
All right.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 if you'd like to join us. One thing, so speaking of captains, Stephon Diggs was named a captain in Houston.
All right.
He also...
Which to me was like the least surprising thing in the world.
Yeah, not surprised.
He's been a captain for the Bills for years.
Yeah. Was a popular teammate when he was here, despite how things ended. He was popular. Houston names Diggs a captain. We got some quotes from him about basically, you kind of have to decide what you have to believe. There's an article in, was it GQ?
It was GQ.
Okay. About his time here and why it ended. And he basically said he was in a bad mental state all last year and had to shake loose. He had to get out of here.
Worst of his career is what he said.
Yep. He had to get out of here. Probably because he was phased out of the offense. This is the closest thing you'll ever get to him demanding the ball on the record. This is kind of the first time it's happened. Been tons of speculation about it. This is him saying, who doesn't want the ball? Everybody does, which is, of course, true.
Uh-huh.
They all want the ball. And they all want to win. And Diggs leaves. And he says that with regard to both teams, because he's now left 2 different teams, Minnesota and Buffalo, he said, neither of those teams wanted me to leave. Now, again, like let's treat this like a breakup. I broke up with him. No, I broke up with them. He said, they said, whatever. If you take Diggs at his word, which is that the Bills did not want to have this breakup happen, they look at it as unfortunate, which is very believable, by the way. They did just restructure him the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bills say a million things about how this ultimately ended. The Bills did not have designs on having him gone this year until it became clear, okay, we're going to have him gone this year. So this is not something the Bills wanted to happen, right?
Right.
Fair? And if this is not something the Bills wanted to happen or planned to happen, wouldn't it be reasonable to say every single point mentioned about how I think this is what the Bills really want from their receiver room is just wrong. Just not right. It's provably incorrect. They would have planned for him to be here. Then it blows up. It's the same as getting dumped and saying, you know what? I feel like this is actually good for me. Like it long term, it might be, but this was not your plan. That's if you take his side of the story at his word. If they did want to break up and did want to move him on, okay. They arrived at that point. Both sides want to end this relationship. That's fine. But to me, one of my big takeaways, Joe, was it's another example. It's another, you want to say, smoking gun about how it all fell apart. Diggs basically says he didn't believe in the Joe Brady offense. That's really what is at the root of this.
He basically says that.
Yeah.
One of the write-ups, one of the quotes that he says is, you can't roll out of bed getting 800 yards in the first 8 games. You tell me about the last 10. What changed? What were the changes going on? Like, for the last 10 games, I forgot how to play bleeping football? That's his quote from GQ.
Now, there's a spot where I think he is probably right.
Well, we've been trying to explain since the end of the season, how is someone capable of having that much production early on, where he's got 100 yards in every game, to last in the National Football League in yards per target? How did he become the least efficient wide receiver in the league in the last month of the year? We've been trying to figure out the answer to that. And Diggs is telling you it was the coordinator.
Sure, which, of course, you want to say he doesn't want to take accountability for that? You can do that. What's most likely? That one of the best receivers in football over the last 5 years hits a wall in November? Or a change in offensive philosophy led to a change in his contribution? Like, one of those is very easy to believe. So, okay, he blames Joe Brady. The Bills can, of course, move on and be better for it. The one thing I would say, this isn't even necessarily a defense of Diggs. It's just, if we can be real about it for a moment. If you want to say he forced his way off of another team here, I'll watch out, he forced his way off another team. Last time he did it, it worked out pretty darn well for everybody involved. Mm-hmm. He wanted out of Minnesota. He didn't like the way the offense was going. He got out. He had a career explosion, became part of a winning franchise, helped identify, become an identifiable star in the league with a growing franchise and a franchise. Like, everything went great for him. So you might think someone is a loose cannon or wild. If you're looking at him in his history, you'd say, last time he did this, it did work great for him. Wouldn't he be more inclined to think, if I try this again, it'll work again? Right? He doesn't have any regrets. If you were to force his way off Minnesota, Minnesota did fire the coach he did not believe in, Mike Zimmer.
Right. Yep.
They drafted Justin Jefferson, and now they found their way to another offensive coach. But the point is, Diggs did this once, and it went great for him.
He got there, though, because he got to a point where he didn't believe in the coaches, right? He didn't believe in the
run-heavy
offensive philosophy.
Yep. And then he forced his way out. He thought his career would be wasted.
Yeah.
And he came here, and his career blossomed.
So all this time, where we've kind of heard a lot of, not even heard a lot of, just like fans bringing it up or people on TV bringing it up, trying to like guess at like what happened here. And a lot of times you'll hear, oh, well, did Diggs and Allen's relationship break down? Did Diggs and McDermott's relationship break down? And I'm not even saying that those things didn't happen. I just haven't seen much evidence other than McDermott and Diggs on the first day of minicamp last year that you could say that it did. This whole time, could it have just been it was Joe Brady and Diggs? Is that it? Is that the reason he's not here anymore? Is it just Joe Brady is now the offensive coordinator? If Ken Dorsey is their offensive coordinator and the offense is more fluid and is working better last year and he is not fired and he is still their offensive coordinator, is Diggs still a Bill? Is it all just the same as Minnesota? He got to a point where he said, This ain't my guy. This ain't going to work for me. And he had the evidence. He had the evidence of he came in and I became the least efficient receiver in football. Is it that simple? Is he just not here because Joe Brady's the offensive coordinator now?
Probably. And I'm
not even saying that Diggs has to be right in that. I mean, he was right last time, right, with Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have to be right. Like, Joe Brady could come in, and you've said it, like, he could be a witch when he shows up. And he gets everybody involved, and Kincaid becomes a star, and their offense is fluid, and James Cook, like, they figure it out. And they get the answers, it looks different, but they're still a top-five offense in the league. But I certainly have questions. I think everybody has questions, at least, about Joe Brady, and maybe one of them that can't be answered this year, I don't think, because they just don't have the personnel for it, is do you know what to do with a star receiver? Because I had nothing from your background that told me you had any problems there.
Right.
Jamar Chase
and
Jefferson.
LSU, they're throwing all over the place as passing game coordinator.
He got all of his receivers involved in Carolina to a crazy degree, even over 100 targets for three guys. So I didn't have any evidence before that said you couldn't do that. But then you got here and you took over play calling duties and my number one receiver who was on pace for 1,800 yards suddenly became the worst receiver or the least efficient receiver in football. So, again, I don't have a guy right now that even can answer this question, but it's worth wondering what happened. How did your change in offense cause him to get that bad? statistically? What happened that allowed that to happen? And again, I don't know that we're going to have an answer for it in the next 12 months.
I mean, they couldn't get him the ball anywhere. It was very inefficient, in part because they started running him on. They started running those screens to him.
Screens, which, and just I don't know what, like, the route tree just changed completely. Yeah. They thought he was, you know, didn't he play him like he was Curtis Samuel?
Yes.
And is that it? Is it just you just didn't have an identifying? You didn't have him identifying Diggs' strengths. Maybe is all it was.
803-0550. Don tweets in, during the first eight games that Diggs is talking about, what was the team's record? And compare it to the last nine games. You could do that. The Bills were 6-6, in part because they gave up a game-winning drive to Mac Jones. Right? Like in a punt return, touchdown, and overtime to the Jets. And an extra field goal to the Broncos. I know that has become the receiver's fault. We've learned that lesson that, you know, wins are all that matters. We'll see. I think the whole thing sounds like it's not that dramatic, even though it's been pretty dramatic. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. He didn't believe in their offense. He wanted out. They said, okay.
They lost last year three games in which he led the team in offense, or led the team in receiving.
Well, it's his fault.
Three games. The three games they lost with Diggs leading the team in receiving was the overtime loss against the Jets in week one, where he had over 100 yards. They lost the Jacksonville game by 5 in London, where he had 121. And they lost the Bengal game by 6, where he had 86. That's it. So, I don't know.
Listen, without like, again, we're already doing this, relitigating his time here. Without saying they need him back, I just want to know, like, to someone like Don who tweets in, if Keon Coleman goes for 160 and they lose a game, is it Keon Coleman's fault? Is it bad that you threw him the ball a lot? Is it bad that he had a good day? I think a really dangerous lesson to take is, well, we won a good record without one person producing. That must mean we don't need that person. And that's, I feel like it's a bad takeaway. If they want him out because declining skills, cap hit, transition, reset, all those things make plenty of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's fine. But I don't want to treat good performances as worthless if they lose a game.
Right.
How's Josh Allen done against the Chiefs in the playoffs? Well, they've lost every game. Should they try a different quarterback? Like, of course not. You know, the good players still do the good things. And you, anyway, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We have to watch those stupid Chiefs play tomorrow night against,
against
Baltimore. And Lamar has lost weight.
Yeah, we can get into that.
We can.
That's a little strange for a guy that's missed, I think the number is 8-9 games in the last 2 years.
Well, before we get to that, when we get back, I want to play Let's Get Stupid, except it's not something you or I or Josh has come up with. The mayor of London, no, sorry, Paris. The mayor of Paris is playing Let's Get Stupid with the Eiffel Tower. All right, Let's Get Stupid. Except this time it's the mayor of Paris doing a little Let's Get Stupid.
Okay.
International controversy, Joe. So the Paris mayor wants to keep the Olympic rings up on the Eiffel Tower, like, kind of indefinitely. Keep the rings up.
That's dumb.
As mayor of Paris, the decision is mine. I want the spirit of celebration to remain. It's a 30-ton ring structure.
Yeah.
That the tower actually can't keep, so they would take it down, and she says she envisions replacing it with a lighter replica as soon as possible.
Okay, so she's actually going to make new ones.
And put them up.
And keep them up there full time.
This would be like keeping
your Christmas tree up all year round.
I don't know about full time. The Paralympic Games are going on. Okay. She's saying like, but she wants to go past that. The spirit of celebration. The Eiffel Tower, keep the rings on them.
Isn't the Eiffel Tower already kind of spirit of celebration?
It's about as iconic a structure as there is.
Yeah. Why would you want to leave the rings on past the Paralympic Games? And put the effort in to create new lighter ones to put on there.
New ones.
How much do they weigh? 30 tons?
Yeah, the ones that are up there now weigh 30 tons.
That's wild. Yeah, this is dumb. This is stupid. This is a stupid idea.
Well, it's as of right now.
That's my take.
It's happening. 803-0550. All right, we got to get a break in. Jay, stick with us. We'll get right to your call on the other side. Which side of the ball are you more interested in seeing in the opener? Are you more eager to see, I should say? The offense, the defense, which one and why? We'll get some of the responses. We'll get Jay's phone call, more of your calls as well. 803-0550. Open phone line. It's a game week. We're one day away from the NFL opener in Kansas City. And, of course, it is Bills and Cardinals come Sunday. Injury report coming today. Media happening today as well. Sal joins us at 9. Howard picks the Bills at 8. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast for this matchup and a breakdown coming up at 7:30.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.